So if we were to play a game titled, use a movie title to name of the week, at least for some people, the movie High Anxiety by Mel Brooks would be their pick for this coming week. This week is a week of high anxiety in the UU world, at least for a lot of people in the UU world. This is the week of the phone call. Over 100 ministers are anxiously waiting to find out if they're going to be invited to become the ministerial candidate at the church of their choice. Approximately 60 search committees are anxiously awaiting to find out if the applicant of their choice will say yes to the invitation to be their candidate. The minister applicants have probably already told everyone that the phone is off limits between 11:45 and 12:30 on Thursday, April 7. And at least the search committee chair, if not the whole search committee, has cleared their calendar and their schedule for April 7 between 11:45 and 12:30. I would assume that 11:59, the search committee chair will dial 9 of the 10 digits of the phone number, waiting for noon, and exactly at noon will push the last digit with the fingers crossed that their electronic signal will be the first to reach the phone of the individual they want to invite to be their congregation's candidates. Next Thursday at noon will be a sort of an electronic salmon run. As congregations try to get to their desired candidate first. And of course, there is actually a third party in all of this, waiting on the proverbial sidelines, the congregation, with the members most likely carrying three emotions simultaneously. Wondering if they will have a potential new minister candidate. Apprehension. Will they get the candidate that fills all of their desires? And fear. How will they be able to make the decision and know they got the right person? Anyone here having those emotions?
Only four?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The search committee. So today, as we draw closer to the day on which this congregation will call or not call an individual to be our next settled minister, I want to talk about a few things that you probably already know, but of which I think are still important to be reminded in order to have a satisfying and fruitful relationship with your next minister. Now, before I go on, I want you to know that I do not know who the search committee is going to invite to be the candidate for you to meet and to vote on. So anything that I say this morning that matches anything with any candidate is simply a coincidence. In a week, if all goes according to plan, your search committee will be standing up here to announce the name of the individual who they have selected to present as the candidate for your vote to be the next settled minister. Then in 3 weeks, all will come together when the candidate will be here for candidating week and then the vote on May 1st. Being a minister, to borrow a line from a Peace Corps ad, is the toughest job you'll ever love. It's a great job. And most ministers love it. But boy, is it a tough job. A congregation holds many demands and expectations about the role and the performance of a minister. And ministers generally feel they need to try to meet all of the expectations to keep the members, their bosses, happy. And all of these expectations are front and center and are powerful behind-the-scenes forces at candidating time because, theoretically, this is when the game board can be reset. Now, it's not always been this way. It's not always been this way with a congregation having multiple and diverse expectations of a minister. In the 19th and probably through the mid part of last century, expectations for ministers were less. If a minister could do one thing well, preach, or do pastoral care, the congregation was content. They accepted a minister's limitations in the other ministerial skills and put up with it. But by mid-last century, more and more demands were placed upon ministers as society changed and became more complicated, and churches took on the role of a multi-service nonprofit, and people came to have less tolerance for shortcomings of the executive. As a colleague of mine, John Nichols, noted, "Today our expectations for both congregations and ministers are so much higher than they've ever been. We come to church seeking a caring community because our world is so rushed and pulled apart by competing pressures and of dreadful impersonality. We come to church hoping to find support for our individual journeys because, unlike generations before us, we are convinced that our inner lives should be somehow better and more full." And John goes on to write, "We want so much more out of life than generations before us ever dreamed of wanting. We build our churches and our ministers up with great hopes." Also, a generation or two ago, people went and most likely stayed with the congregation of their faith tradition. And they were members of that congregation through several ministers, some of them very good, and some of them probably less good. But today, people are willing to leave a church if their expectations are not met. They have no problem going to churches of different denominations because the specifics of theologies and doctrines generally don't matter much to them. However, this shopper or consumer mentality really complicates the life of a minister and of a congregation because the minister and the congregation leaders are constantly trying to meet all sorts of demands to keep the members happy so they will come back and pay the bills. Want to actually see the long list and the very diverse catalog of expectations for the 21st century ministers, at least UU ministers? So just go and look at the postings on the UUA Transitions Office website. A while ago, I took a little bit of time to look through some of the congregation profiles just to see what potential applicants were looking at and what congregations were wanting or dreaming about getting in their new minister. Here are some of the wide range of traits and qualities wanted that I took from profile descriptions. We want a minister with intellectual as well as spiritual depth who will challenge and stimulate the thinking of the congregation and who has administrative skills. A minister who will grow and retain membership through innovative and unique experiences as well as be able to foster the integration of the church, school, youth group, and larger church. An individual who will assist in the development of the adult religious education program and be able to create a space for renewal and relationship building. We want someone who will inspire the congregation members to be partners in the struggle for justice and creatively support and be invested in strengthening the children's religious education offerings. A minister who is skilled in writing and delivering inspiring and intellectually challenging sermons, who has a distinct theological voice, but who can weave diverse beliefs and non-beliefs into a meaningful common worship. Oh, you got it. Which is search speak for having this person be able to speak and not offend the humanists, pagans, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, Wiccans, Jews, and Christians in the congregation. And they want someone who can become one of them and draw them out to be innovative. Or as a congregation, and this is a quote, congregation put in their record, congregational record statement, "We want everything. We want omnipresent pastoral care. We want swift membership growth, expanded adult RE, and a better organized children's religious education program. And we want great intellectual and deeply spiritual sermons." Now, this congregation was kind enough to say that they know that one person cannot do everything, and B cannot do everything, but they still want the future minister to address these needs in the decade ahead. In other words, they want the minister to walk on water. Now, at this point, I know we all are going to nod and agree that we would never expect a minister to be all things to all people. I know we really believe this. But from the conversations that I've had over the past 18 months, I know that UCWC members also have a long list of wants and maybe even a few must-haves for the new minister. And I'm pretty sure that everyone wants the new minister to be just like some past minister, either here or some minister they knew someplace else, or they want the minister to absolutely not be like some other minister. But what is true for our search and any ministerial search is that a congregation will never find a minister who can be all that the profile says the congregation wants. No minister can meet even one person's list of must-have, much less that of all of the members of the congregation. No minister can walk on water, I guess unless they know where the stepping stones are. And even then, they may be moss-covered and they'll fall off. God, or nature, or divine providence, or whatever, does not distribute in any one minister equal shares of talents and skills wanted by a congregation. The minister that can move smoothly through crowds and love being constantly with people is probably not one who will spend time in reflection and study and deep sermon writing. A minister's skill in harmonizing or healing will probably not be the preacher who brings fresh, provocative ideas. The social activist may not find it interesting to work with young children. These are different personalities and different skill sets, different gifts. And no one with a strong personal theological perspective can regularly preach without sometimes, or maybe even more often than sometime, upsetting or offending either the humanist or pagan or Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, Wiccan, Jew, Christian, not to mention the social activist, the mental health advocate, or someone dealing with a deep personal issue at any one moment. Every congregation wants the complete ministerial package with all the skills, all the knowledges, and all the talents to fill all of the niches in the church life. But a complete ministerial package is an illusion. It doesn't exist in anyone. The best that can be obtained is a minister with some set of skills at which they are very good at performing, and then a minister who is honest to say that they are not good at other skills, but will work with the congregation to fill those niches with the congregation. Now, the second thing I hope you'll consider is that while every member of every congregation wants to see a perfect fit between their new minister and the congregation on day one, or very shortly afterwards, it will not most likely happen. Your next minister will seem like an outsider. He or she will be different from me, or Deb, or Patrick, or Larry, or Kate. It will take some time for this new minister to find a firm footing, to move confidently through his or her work and become part of this community. So remember, the adjustment of a minister and a congregation is organic. It's not mechanical. It grows over time. Give it that time. One final point about the selection process is I've heard people say, it isn't right to just get a week to make a decision like this. We might make a mistake because we're forced to make this decision so quickly. And yes, this is a major decision for this congregation. First, but I want to mention a few things. First, your search committee is fantastic. They have worked very, very hard. You read ahead of my notes. They have met almost every Sunday evening throughout this church year to prepare themselves to develop the description and the profile, to get themselves ready to interview the applicants, and then interview the applicants, and then weigh all the factors and make their decision. Next week, they will present their choice. And I hope that you will again stand and give them a prolonged applause and cheer. Applause and cheers, not for the candidate, that'll come later, but for them and for their year of dedication to this congregation. So consider that the individual brought to you has been selected by a group of knowledgeable, caring people dedicated to the welfare of this congregation, your own folk. And let that set the foundation for the decision. Second, you will have two Sundays, several receptions, a number of meetings, and probably availability of one-on-one conversations with the candidate during candidating week, as well as a lot of other material about the candidate that the search committee will be making available between now and when the candidate arrives. You will have time and material to find out a lot about this individual. And third, and this I think is really the most important, science has shown that in a number of studies that first impressions are significant, that your own judgment is very significant in making decisions. A while ago, there was a study done at a university with university students where the students were shown video clips, very short video clips, I mean, you know, like 5 to 15 seconds without sound of professors teaching. And they were asked to decide if the professor was good or bad at teaching. In a surprising finding, it seems that just by looking even at the briefest video, the students rated the professor's teaching ability almost exactly the same as the students that had actually sat in the class and heard the professor teach. So it seems that first impression and personal judgment is very important and can be trusted in making decisions. So here's what I suggest that you do to get ready to make your decision. Gather data, weigh the evidence, socialize your opinions and ideas with others, but listening with fully open ears and fully open minds to what others are saying and feeling. Then let your natural decision-making instinct speak to your heart and to your mind. So let me just briefly summarize. You will not get all the requisite ministerial qualities in one person. But that does not mean that you will have a defective minister. It does mean that there is plenty of room for ministry in this congregation to grow and to do very exciting work, most likely in ways that are very different from what has gone on with all your past ministers. You will not get someone who has the skills and the talents and personality traits that you must have in a minister. That doesn't mean that they'll not be a good minister. You will probably not get someone you will fall in love with right away. Your relationship will develop if you allow it to develop. And you will have all the information you need to make a decision, including your intuition. So go toward May 1st with confidence, and in the months and years ahead, whoever your minister is, please continue to give your whole heart to this wonderful congregation and to your new minister. So be it. Sermon podcasts are recorded live during Sunday services at the Unitarian Congregation of Westchester, Pennsylvania.
The Unitarian Congregation of Westchester is a member congregation of the Unitarian Universalist Association. To sign up for our email newsletter, go to connect.ucwc.org.